We are both few and far between. But it's so good to see those of you who are here tonight in your place with a bright, shining face. And that's the way to end every day. Let's open our Bibles this evening to the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 for just a moment, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll begin at verse number 1 and read the first 6 verses. The writer says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, 'I will never leave you, nor forsake you.' So we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" I think we'll spend just a few moments on the last of that reading. It's a combination of two different Old Testament passages in two places from the Old Testament making the same exact point, the fact that in this life we have a helper. We're not in this thing alone, and God has promised to help see us through. It's a passage reminding us of a subject that has always been near and dear to my heart, the subject of God's special and divine providence in our lives. That simply means that he watches after his own. He provides for us. He takes care of us. When Jesus, in the prayer he taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, said, "Give us this day our daily bread," he's asking the Father for this providential care. And the daily bread is, it seems, a bit euphemistic of a larger, expansive idea of those things we need to sustain this life and to build a lifetime of good experiences. God has a special way of taking care of his special people. And that's what we mean by providence. And oftentimes, I think we make mistakes, and if I'm making too sharp a point here, stay with me. Sometimes we miss the point of what we're even talking about. We're so careful not to go too far, we sometimes don't go quite far enough. I'll bring up a word that at the same time brings up wonderful Bible stories and kind of brings the heart to a place of fear, knowing, not knowing, wondering, not wondering what to do with the word, and the word is miracle. Well, we love the stories of miracles in the Bible, and yet other people in life bring up the word miracle, and we're a little bit hesitant, and we are a little bit defensive about it because we say, well, miracles don't exist anymore. There are no longer any miracles. The days of miracles have passed. And then sometimes we make the valid point that so many of those around us misunderstand even what a miracle is. And I think on this we're on sure and sound ground. A miracle is that which transcends and goes beyond the normal natural laws of nature God has placed before us. And so when somebody refers to the birth of a child as a miracle, well, that may by common parlance be what they mean, but it's not biblically what is suggested because that is the natural law. It seems mysterious, marvelous, and beyond our comprehension, but that's the way God made the natural world to work. And so a birth is not miraculous in the Bible sense. Now, if your dog gave birth to a human being, that would be a miracle. Because that'd be outside the laws of nature. And I'm not suggesting it'll happen. But I'm just giving that as a very poor and crude example of something that would be beyond the realms of the natural order. But on the other hand, we sometimes use that word miracle in a way that we don't even realize we're using it, limiting God in some fashion. There are passages that make it very clear that, yes, the age of miracles has passed and ceased, but what we mean by miracle is not the broad sense of the Bible word. We mean by that the day in which God has worked through human agency to perform miracles to confirm the word. That age is past, and those miracles have ceased. And the passages, every one of them, were used to make the point that that day is past. Every one of them is talking about these miracles done through human agency, through our Lord during his lifetime, through apostles after he left the church to us and to them, the early church, as they had these spiritual gifts. All of these miracles through human agency meant to confirm the word that was being preached before there was a compiled canon of Scripture. And when that which was perfect came, that which was in part, these miracles through human agency, they ceased. They were done away with. They were no more. And that time has already happened. That time has passed. The time of these kinds of miracles. But there are more miracles in the Bible than just those. When we say the age of miracles is past, we mean that we don't perform miracles by God's power to confirm the word. But God can do what he chooses to do at any time he chooses to do it. And I have yet to find the passage of Scripture that tells me that God has promised that he no longer and will no longer work outside the natural law. He can do as he chooses to do. That being said, though, it's very difficult to say. I know that was a miracle, and that was not. God's work is beyond my understanding and way over my pay scale. But I do think sometimes we limit ourselves with the argument. And so, yes, the time when God works through human agency, that's past. The time when God may or can do something beyond the realms of nature, that's his business and not mine. And I will not begin to limit him from what he chooses to do. And so, having said that, sometimes just saying, not cavalierly, but sometimes without thinking it through, the age of miracles is past, we may not clearly state our case as succinctly as we would like. That said, I think there are cases and have been in history when God's providence has been shown even outside the natural order. But by and large, and for the most part, we're talking about within the laws God has put in place, the natural laws of nature. And God sees to it that we're helped. In so many ways, he opens doors of opportunity that would not have been opened otherwise, in so many cases. He gives us strength within the Word and from the means of this power within us in ways we sometimes can't describe, a strength of self and power from on high that we sometimes can't describe or understand. I think God helps us in ways sometimes past our understanding. Never changing our choices, never altering our decisions, never causing us to go against our own decision making, our own will, but he helps us. And if that's not what this passage is saying, I don't know what it is. When it says so clearly, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. Now, is that true or not? I could not believe more firmly that that is. It is. And so many times throughout both Testaments, but especially for us in the New Testament, for Christians, God has promised time and time again, I will be there to help you, to give you strength, to give you opportunities. Those things we say can't happen, God can, with our cooperation, make them happen. Those things we can't ordinarily do, if God wants us to do them and we are doing them for His glory, for His purpose, if they need to be done, God will see to it we're able to do it. In so many ways, He helps us in so many different ways that are providential. And that's why we can sing a song like this next one with all of our hearts. 461. 461. If you'll turn there with me. It's one of the reasons why we don't, as Christians, live lives filled with anxiety and worry, uncertainty, and upset. We just don't live lives like that. We shouldn't. Because, as we're just about to sing in a moment, God will take care of us. The question is not, has He promised that? He has. The only question remaining is, do we believe it? Do we have the faith to believe it? And oh, when we do, to the extent that we do, things change in ways we can never imagine. Let's sing together, 461. Be not dismayed, whatever. In a wonderfully warm and comfortable Christian home where I was supported so early on. And so many evenings I remember sitting there either playing Scrabble or watching something on television, looking over at my dad in his recliner. He had his books around him, and more often than not, as he was reading his books, as we were doing whatever we did, he was reading from the Life, Letters, and Sermons of T.B. Larimore, his favorite gospel preacher, and because of that, my favorite gospel preacher of all times. Such a kind and warm-hearted man was Brother Larimore. But I remember reading, and I wanted to mention this evening, a special passage. I don't usually read anything from books, but this evening we make an exception. I'd like to read a few words. Brother Larimore, in a section of letters in which he heads it by saying a special providence. On the subject, he says, of special providence. With all my heart, he says, I do believe providence protects all who truly trust God and lovingly obey Him, just as surely, certainly, and constantly as Jehovah was ever the shield of Abraham, Peter, and Paul. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward, Jehovah, Genesis 15, verse 1. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. David, Psalm 34 and verse 7. He is a shield unto them who put their trust in Him. Solomon, Proverbs 30 and verse 5. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul, 2 Timothy 3 and 11. Men may differ in opinion as to how, in what sense, and to what extent God, Jehovah, is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him, but He is a shield unto those who put their trust in Him. It is within the realm, not of opinion, but it's a question of faith, pure and simple. Hence, there can be no difference of sentiment on that subject, except that some may believe, some may not believe it, and some may disbelieve it, and that's the end of it. Men may differ in opinion as to how the angel of the Lord delivers faithful servants of the Lord from danger and from death, but that the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them is not a question of opinion, but of faith. Therefore, they cannot differ about that, except that some may believe the Bible, while others may believe it not at all, and some may even disbelieve it, and that's the end of that. And he goes on saying much the same thing, but the point is, what we're discussing this evening about God taking care of us is not a matter of opinion. The promise is there. God will not lie. God cannot lie. God is incapable of telling an untruth. And he said clearly, both testaments, to those before the cross and to those of us especially, washed by the blood of the Lamb past the cross. And in the cross, and because of the cross, He's promised us, I'll be with you. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll be there for you. Or as we just read from Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, it's one thing to say that about right now, but it's harder to grasp and to hold on to when you consider an unknown, uncertain, untethered future that you know nothing about. And to be honest, you know nothing about it. You might think you do, but you don't. You think you know what tomorrow is going to hold? You don't. You don't know anything past this breath. But you do know this. Though you don't know the future, the one who holds the future knows, and He cares, and He provides everything we need. And that's something that for the Christian, for you and for me, it should give us great comfort and solace. It should rip away the fear and take away the worry and erase all of the anxiety from our hearts and leave us with a place of clear, consistent confidence that I can do, I can accomplish, I can endure anything because God's promised in Christ to be there with me and giving me help. Let's close by singing 463. 463. We'll sing the first and last verse. I'll give you a heads up this time. First and third verse. 463. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from His sunshine, for His eyes made her gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus. everything we've been talking about this evening, the help, the comfort, the strength we gain from the Lord and His providence in our lives, oftentimes in ways we can clearly see, and so often in ways beyond our understanding. All of this is reserved specially for those of us who are His, who wear the name of His Son, who are Christians. If you're here tonight and that's not the case, if you're not a child of God, change that before this service is over. Or if you are an unfaithful child of God, come before the Father and ask His forgiveness and come home. But if you need to come, what better time to come than now as together we stand and sing.